You know, I've noticed something. People who say, and this is a bit of a pet peeve of mine, I will be honest. People still say Star Wars instead of A New Hope, which is fine, I think, in some ways. It was expected back in 1996. That's I think, the threshold of appropriateness, because if you still feel the need to 35 plus, you know, or so years later, say A New Hope, well, Episode 4, A New Hope, I call it Star Wars. Because that's what I hear fans say all the time of the original trilogy. We understand which one you mean when you say Star Wars. You don't have to do the caveat of A New Hope every time. And that's one of those small things where we understand what movie it is. You don't have to say, hello, my name is so-and-so, and I really liked this moment from Episode 4, A New Hope. I call it Star Wars.
I just say episode four.
Just so you know. All right, you guys listening to episode 83 of the Star Wars Report will be right with you. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Star Wars Report podcast. I'm the founder of the Star Wars Report website, blog, and podcast network that it has become. Riley Blanton, so glad that you've decided to tune in to the Star Wars Report podcast. We've got a great show lined up for you tonight, starting with my good friend Mark Herleman. How are you doing, sir?
I am dodging the Wasp Lords, and they are, yes, they're sitting above me, and Whistler thinks it's funny, because I cringe. He's a droid. He doesn't have to worry about the stinger. I do. I'm soft.
I see. So what do you call it, Star Wars or Episode 4, A New Hope?
I don't go that far. I just Episode 4. I'm just an episoder,
it's just,
you know, like Episode 4, Episode 6, Episode 7, and then I'm like, Episode 6, oh wait, no, I mean 4, because I swapped the IV and VI. That's why I hate the Roman numerals, because, you know, I look at that and like Celebration, what was it, Celebration 5, CV,
yep.
You know, I kept calling it CV all the time.
Yeah.
And then Celebration 6, CVI, I'm like, come on, let's just call it Celebration 7 now. Let's just go with it's easier for Twitter. I mean, come on.
Yeah, well, you know, it's just one of those things where I think at some point back around the time of 1998, if you still felt the need to actually clarify that it's called Star Wars to you, it's more of a statement of being a little bit too precious with the galaxy far, far away than anything else. I don't know. What do you think, Mark Newbold of Jedi News, who's now joining us?
That's a very good question. You know, I still think of Star Wars, the 77 film, mm-hmm. as Star Wars.
Sure.
So it's Star Wars, Empire Jedi.
But
then
you don't
got used to saying Phantom Menace, because I never know whether to say Phantom or Menace. And Attack of the Clones, do I say Attack or Clones? So I always say Episode 1, 2, and 3, so I'm really sort of schizo on it. It depends on what day you catch me on, really, I think.
But I've had conversations with you, Mark. I've had conversations with you because you don't every time you say Episode 4 or Star Wars feel the need, or every time you say Star Wars, you don't say, which by that one I mean A New Hope, just in case you didn't know.
That's very true.
I might be going
maybe I should.
Crazy. Okay, so we got a great show for you guys lined up, but I wanted to start off with a segment. We teased it last week, and this is the first thing I just wanted to get straight out of the gate. It happened, Mark and Mark. We watched Star Wars for the first time with someone who hadn't ever seen it before.
Ooh.
And I won't use full names. I feel like this is like a criminal investigation. We cannot incriminate.
The names and the events have been changed, but the CSR events themselves were real.
This is like, bad boys, what you want? All right. So Jamie, we'll say, she is probably late 30s. It's not polite for a gentleman to ask a lady's age.
So she's 29 a few times.
Yes. Mark, you've been married for a while now, haven't you?
And I've had an old sister-in-law, which I can't say around her. I have a sister-in-law when I'm around her.
Okay. All right. Well, yes. So this is what happened. We went over to my older sister's house, and it was her friend who hadn't seen it before. So we scheduled it. As I said last week, my sister Cindy called the experts. We got the ring, got the call, and we're like, I'm on it. you know, and I wanted to make a Superman reference, and then I just I blanked on the fortress. Ah, it was funny in my head. Anyway, so we did. We went over there, and we watched A New Hope. Now, this is where it gets a little tricky, because it was kind of a 1-2 punch. Now, my sister, actually, my older sister, Cindy, as well as my older brother, Wesley, they are both kind of the original Star Wars fans of my family. I mean, my parents are the original ones, as far as that goes. And that's and especially, like, when I talk about my family, guys, prepare to be, this is going to be a very rambly episode of the Star Wars Report. But when it comes to my family, my dad and mom are the original Star Wars fans, but I really hate to prescribe the term Star Wars fan, because you're not going to catch my mom or dad, you know, attending, oh, actually, my mom has attended some Star Wars celebration with us, but still, in general, it would not be a general interest. They're not going to be going to conventions on their own. They're not going to be on message boards. And nowadays, when you say Star Wars fan, because of that root word fan, fanatic, people think of, you know, someone who's on the message boards, the forums, or always talking about it on social media. And that's not really what I mean. When I'm talking about Star Wars fans, I mean that they really enjoy watching these movies as a family experience. And so growing up, it would have been my oldest brother, Wesley, who would have seen it first. And it was kind of a progressive thing as each of the children came of age. It was kind of like the non-Jewish Blanton Bar Mitzvah. We would watch Star Wars as we came of age. And
a Blant Mitzvah?
Yeah, something like that. But it was one of those kind of traditions that came out of nowhere, and we would watch Star Wars. I don't know if we've ever talked about this on air, but at a much later age than most people would watch Star Wars, because as a family, we were usually much more conservative with what we would watch. We were very much, and still are to this day, enjoy and value family entertainment. And Star Wars is for what it is, it's PG. Certainly, but it's no Disney film. It does have violence. It does have the deaths. It's a serious film, and not so much for the idea of not understanding. Well, and not so much for the idea of the pure violence or adult nature, because you know Star Wars isn't that bad there. But more for the idea of the way Star Wars can, you can't appreciate it at a fully appreciate it at a younger age. So, in the same way with Tolkien or C.S. Lewis for The Chronicles of Narnia or Lord of the Rings, Star Wars was in that category for our family, so we wouldn't watch these films until we were 12, 13, 14 years old. Now, some people might say, what? Because how could you possibly, and believe me.
Yeah, I'm a flip the script on that. I was like, my kids were watching Lord of the Rings while they were still in diapers. Well,
yeah, and see that, and Mark, that's usually what the most common story, especially for someone my age, you know, in their early 20s when they were born, you know, so all the Star Wars movies were out. So especially if your parents were fans of the films, you know, you'd pop those VHSs in, the taped off TV VHSs, in, and that would be what you would first watch, you know, when you were 3 years old. But, my parents, as far as the story, knew that at an older age I would be able to more greatly appreciate it. And in many ways, I am very grateful to my parents. Excuse me. Got a little bit of a cold, guys. You're going to have to deal with You're going to have to deal
with it. Yeah, that's one way to keep from choking up and get all misty-eyed.
But it was one of those things where I can really appreciate the fact that my parents did not let me watch Star Wars. And believe me, I tried. If it was on when you were going through the Best Buy, I remember the 2004, I would have been 13, and I think I may have seen one of the films by that time. I can't remember.
It was snuck in underneath the recliner.
But you remember when the DVDs?
That's how I watched Heavy Metal for the first time. I think it was like 4, and I remember having all these dreams about a chick on a bird. Like, what was that? And I was like 18 watching. I'm like, that's what I was dreaming about as a kid.
Yeah, well, yeah, something like that. But I was already 13 at that point. In 2004, I would have been 13 if I'm doing my math correctly. And that's when I would, that's when the DVDs came out of the original trilogy, and they were playing it in Walmart, and I would linger in the electronics section, and I would just, like, catch 5 minutes here or 6 minutes there. But I hadn't watched any of the original trilogy. The Phantom Menace was the first one I saw. So anyway, that sets the scene of kind of our tradition of watching Star Wars. And I can't believe we've never talked about this. You know, it's as long as we've done 83 episodes into the Star Wars Report, And we haven't actually talked about the Blant traditions of how we first saw the films. Crazy.
I think it was on the show notes of one of our first episodes, but it was like number 10, so we didn't get past number 3.
And we may have briefly touched on it really early on. Those probably aren't even in the iTunes archives. Those are back on the website now. If you guys want to listen to those early episodes, I think it's only the most recent 50 on iTunes. I don't know how that works exactly. I'd have to double check it. But that's the Blanton tradition. So fast forward to last Friday. It's Thursday as we record this, so almost a week ago. We went with our sister over there, and so, kind of bringing it back to Star Wars fans, this was the idea that I don't really like the term Star Wars fans, because I think that my family, you know, as a family unit, we really do appreciate especially the original trilogy, but really all these films, as the great stories that they are. And by that, and I think fan sometimes is degrading. Is,
casual.
Yeah,
you want to put casual Star Wars fan.
See, and I don't even want to do that because it's not casual, because I think they have my parents, I think, truly have a greater understanding and appreciation for these films, as well as some of my siblings, than many people I would meet at Star Wars Celebration. And so in that way, but I wouldn't call them a Star Wars fan. I think I've decided at this point, it's occurring to me, I will just simply not label them at all, because you can't label them. But I will say this, it's the kind of thing where I would consider myself, in the way I approach that galaxy far, far away, much closer to the way my extended family has and when they introduced it to me. And that I don't really consider myself a fanatic, because I think that's a disservice to what Star Wars is. A fanatic is something I would
describe. I'm a fanatic. Well, openly admit it.
I know. I don't think that's a bad thing, Mark. I think your enthusiasm is there and is different, though. And I think that's...
Oh, yeah,
that's
absolutely where, different.
And it's the kind of thing where I kind of normally would ascribe fanatic as a negative term. And I think, Mark, you've owned it. And culture in general has owned the term nerd, geek, fanatic, to where it's a positive thing. But I still think there's a kind of lingering measure of what the word means. And so I still cautiously call myself a Star Wars fan, because I'm not. What am I going to do? Call myself sound like a snob and call myself a connoisseur of this galaxy far. I like to take a taste every now and then.
I'm a connoisseur of fine Star Wars. This Star Wars expanded universe. I don't like affinities. No, C-level's mine.
I say, dearie, have you read the latest Fate of the Jedi novel? What?
Good Lord, Buffy, did you see what they just threw in my Fate of the Jedi?
Lord, did you see that Mara Jade passed? Oh, sorry, spoiler alert. Yes. Okay, so there we were, watching the watching Star Wars, but it was not Star Wars in that it wasn't what. Not only did we have to decide what order we were going to watch the films in, which we'll touch on in a second, but we also had to decide what version of the film to watch. And I've gotten some...
Yeah, does Han shoot first or not?
I've gotten some crap for this, Mark. I will be honest, on both social media, and I got an indignant text from Steve Glosson, who I think's listening, so hi, Steve. because we showed Attawan's Star Wars Revisited. Not for the benefit of Jamie. This is where I am picking up my shield and lightsaber and going into defense mode. Riley is now in defense mode, because I am afraid I may have caused a great offense to many Star Wars Report listeners, including Steve Glosson, because it's not any of George's versions of the film. And in some way, I can understand you want to respect the filmmaker and show his vision of the film. That being said, the reason why... I did have a reason. The reason I chose... Attawan's and Bethany, and I'm going to kind of spread the blame with Bethany a little bit, because we did both decide here, so don't blame it all on me. I'm just saying.
It was a snake and an apple. It's their fault.
Oh, boy. We're getting biblical up in this house. It's like the History Channel.
No, okay.
But it was one of those things where we hadn't seen Star Wars, and the last time Bethany and I watched all 6 Star Wars films over the course in a row, or at least in sequence within a reasonable amount of time, say within a 2 or 3 week time span, was with my older sister shortly after she got out of college. And what I want to say, and again, my memory is fuzzy, it's somewhere between the year 2003 and 2006. One of those years, it was shortly after my sister had graduated. And this is with the one and the same sister, now married with a kid. And they have busy lives, but they wanted to organize this. So every weekend, we're watching one of the Star Wars films. We're, the next one's scheduled, Empire Strikes Back. Don't worry, it's not any weird fan edit of the film. It is the Blu-ray edition of the Empire Strikes Back. But, so I rewind, Star Wars Revisited. The reason we chose it was because it was more of an intrigue for myself and my sister, not just Bethany, but Cindy, who I know we've all seen these films so many times. And Jamie is not someone who normally would watch a science fiction film, hence, you know, or she would have seen Star Wars. I mean, you're talking about a lady who's never seen Star Wars, to which I immediately asked, have you ever seen Lord of the Rings? And she said no. And I tried really, really hard to keep my composure as a...
You what?
What?
That's a trifecta.
Well, but that's the person we are. And these people do exist. As Jerry Seinfeld would say, who are these people? So I decided I am vaguely familiar with what Star Wars Revisited is, and I know there are a couple somewhat major changes that would change the flavor of the film, but for the most part, really 98% of the film is just slight changes to the color correction and to some of the frames are adjusted. Adding some TIE fighters, an intro to the Death Star, and I think really, and this is where I have been blathering on long enough. I've defended myself. That's why we chose. It was more for intrigue on myself and my sisters, Bethany and Cindy, more for the intrigue of us three, than for the benefit of Jamie, because Jamie was going to enjoy the film regardless. And I really, Star Wars is not about which version of the film you see. It's not about what order you see the films in. I think people can be far too precious. I mentioned at the beginning of the show, far too precious about this kind of thing. And Star Wars transcends the what version of the film you see. If it were the Phantom edit where you cut the Phantom Menace down to an hour and a half film, I could see that. But in this case, I knew it wouldn't change the actual, it wouldn't change the end of the film. So, Attawan Star Wars. I hear Mark. I will shut up now for the foreseeable future. And Mark, I Herleman. This is gonna be a long show. I'll just have to. I feel like if I say the first and last name with too much gravitas or too much emphasis, then it's like I'm wasting time. So if I can kind of slip in and I'm like, so Mark Herleman, you just saw Star Wars. You just saw Revisited as well, right? And
last night.
Really? Okay, so
of all things,
let's talk
I'm
about that.
There and I'm talking with my roommate, and I'm like, "Hey, you know, he keeps trying to get me to watch the despecialized. He's got these despecialized versions of the films, and he goes on and on." And I'm like, "Well, what I really want to watch is this Revisited. You know, I've seen clips of it, and so you know, he pulled it up and he put it up on the projector, and I'm watching my entire wall." You know, and he brought it up to I think 720. That was the highest resolution he had on it, and. Yeah. Oh man, I by the time I'm done, I'm like, I don't think I'm gonna watch the regular versions again. And he is the total opposite. I mean, like, he's like, I gotta watch the despecialized. I gotta get this burned out of my retinas. I gotta go back to what originally happened. And it was just so funny because I mean, I was like, every time something new was happening, I'm clapping, I'm dancing around. I couldn't sit down. I was like, this is cool. This is awesome. But you know, you'd mentioned changes, and I asked this. What changes did Attawan add that are so terrible that couldn't be compared to any change George has done in any of the many times he's edited it?
It's a different. It's not. It's the only difference is it's not George doing it. I'm curious, Mark Newbold. What did you think? You've seen it? What is your perspective on Revisited, especially if you're going to show it to someone for the first time? Am I crazy? Am I an evil person wreaking havoc on the lives of a poor innocent Jamie who just wanted to see Star Wars and I'm ruining her life?
Well, you're obviously evil, but not purely because of this.
Oh, okay.
I loved it. I really enjoyed it. I mean, I think, like Mark said, it's more about the story. It's all about the story. So, you know, that's going to come across however you see it, whether you see the original sort of 77 cut, which is so hard to get these days if you haven't got a VHS player, or you know, the special edition or whichever one it is. And bearing in mind now that Disney owns it all, you know, if there are future releases of Star Wars, it'll be one of two things, I would imagine. It'll either be a version with all new, brand new, tidied up special effects to make it look wonderful, or more likely, the original version that came out, you know, back in the day. So there's going to be other changes to the Star Wars films that probably won't have anything to do with George. So I suppose that's one perspective on it. But I really enjoyed what he did. I think we mentioned earlier, he did a lot of colour corrections on it that really tightened things up and just made it more consistent visually, you know, all the way through the film. The only questionable bit was the TIE fighter sequence at the start of the Death Star battle, because he put the Imperial March in. I wasn't so keen on that. But
Really? See, I when I saw that, I was that was the dance. As soon as those ties, like, they slowed, yeah. And then you kind of, like, they pan towards you, and next thing you know, you're behind. I was like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. I was literally doing a jig.
Yeah, the dance to joy.
I liked, see, I thought the one where they began the Death Star battle, I actually liked that one. I think it was a little overboard when the introduction to the Death Star happened, and then here's the difference. I think using the Imperial March in full with the initial introduction of the Death Star was a little bit over the top, because there's a reason we don't hear that until Empire. I think thematically, especially, like, you, I was actually watching on the Blu-ray disc a conversation with the Masters after this, because we're getting ready to watch Empire this weekend, and you hear George talk and John Williams talk about the Imperial March, and it was George said, you know, we need something more, you know, almost patriotic in the sense of the Empire. You know, this is the Empire's theme. We need something more forceful, monotonous, repetitive, you know, hitting you hard, and that's why thematically it fits into Empire probably more than it would fit into A New Hope thematically. But you know, when you do raise a good point. I think it works better in the second, because they used I think the asteroid chase, or a more subtle version with the introduction to the Death Star battle.
I think there were some subtle things in there. I mean, they have Greedo blinking and stuff. I kind of get the impression that when they went and did the Blu-ray releases, they took a little cue from that to make Wicket blink, you know. So there were some cute little bits in there.
Really?
That's the
first I've heard this. So that makes sense. Wow. You just blew my mind.
Yeah, and as Mark Newbold was saying about the colors, my favorite...
No, it's Mark Newbold. But quiet on the new, but get it right. You got to get it right.
I'm sorry.
Thematically, it's got to fit. Yeah.
Well, as you were saying about the colors, though, the one that I was fist pumping. I was totally geeking out. And maybe it was because my roommate was, like, so against it that I was just, like, really getting into it. I don't know. But when you see R2 out in space and he's no longer black and you can see the blue tint, that, I remember, drove me nuts. When I first watched it, and I kind of rationalized it, I was like, okay, maybe it's because in space everything's so drab because there's no oxygen. You know, like, I was trying to retcon why he was black.
Yeah, I could see that. I thoroughly enjoyed the experience. And here's my question to you guys, I slightly am encouraged that you guys aren't jumping on me for this, because it was something that I did consider long and hard, and I just really wanted to see Adewan's version of the film and do that. And I think sometimes there's an inherent distrust, especially of folks like the three of us, especially me and you, Mark Newbold, it comes down to, I think that there can be a hubris with fan editors that's there when they're saying, well, this is better. I'm doing this because I'm better than what George did. And I think this is definitely a project of passion. A little bit like we heard about, what was that? Who was the actor in L.A. who did his special edit of the prequels? Topher Grace.
Yeah,
he did that a while ago. And you get this, he wasn't spreading that around. It was a private screening for his friends, and he wanted to just see what they thought of the way the films were edited. It wasn't I'm cutting out all of Jar Jar or something like that. It really does come off as in a sense of passion. And
Well, yeah, I think back to the distance. Oh, go ahead, Mark.
Sorry. No, go on. Go ahead. You're right.
Well, I think it comes back to the aspect of George has tinkered with it so much that as fans who have watched the film multiple times in all the different versions, you've become okay with the changes. You just decide, you know, from an EU standpoint, which personal fandom you want to, or which personal canon you want to adapt to. I mean, I will always, whether what film version I'm watching, Han always shoots first because that's what I watched the first time. That's yeah. how I always saw that character, you know, and even though I watched the other versions and I watched Greedo, when I see that scene, I'm not seeing that scene. I'm seeing what I remember watching a long, long time ago. I'm watching that scoundrel, you know?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Totally agree with that. Totally. Like you say, you know, however many hundred times we've seen Star Wars between us, you know, somebody up the road could do his own ID1 version of Star Wars, and it would hopefully, or I would imagine almost certainly, come from the same point of passion for it and love for it, respect for it. You know, ID1's done this because he loves Star Wars. He's spent a lot of money and time, and he's having to, you know, really sort of work hard to get the, you know, the capability together to do it. And it's a work of passion, and he's having to do it in bits, and he's currently working on Empire.
Yeah,
and,
you know, I cannot wait.
The Empire stuff, that just looks mind-blowing, some of what's out there. He's been working on that for months, and he's only on the Hoth sequences, you know. So he's not doing it to be a clever guy, you know. He's not doing it to be a smart ass. He's doing it because he cares about it.
Yeah. And you can tell.
Of detail is insane. I mean, he replicates not just, you know, sets, but costumes and all sorts of stuff. When I first, you know, I had only seen the comparison YouTube videos, you know, but most of the stuff that I was reading was his, this is how I built the generators. And most of it was for the Empire Strikes Back stuff. And I totally, at that point, I thought he had already made the films. I was like, oh, he'd only done one? And then you see all the stuff he's doing. It's like, oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. Yeah. And you realize the level of intensity that he has gone to kind of restore some of the classic original scenes. Or what I mean by that is mostly the colors, like Mark was saying, you know, bringing the reds back into the right color, the blue of Luke's lightsaber, things like that, you know, bringing it back where it should be, or like the blue top on the escape pod, things like that, that just, when they re-edited it and stuff like that, they forget to take care of one scene here, but we did all 28, but just, we've got that one little things like that. And he's going out of his way to make sure it's all lining up. You know, yeah, there's the little added stuff, but as a longtime fan, I really actually enjoyed all the added stuff. I didn't feel like anything was too over the top, let's say.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, I think there are a couple points where that point could be made. But I think almost everything was done very tastefully. You know, the main complaints I've heard about it would be, oh, well, recutting the duel between Ben and Darth Vader, Ben Kenobi and Darth Vader, cutting it to where it was more fast-paced ruins it, or that using the Episode 3 music in that sequence ruins it, or, you know, there are things like that.
I was surprised that when Lucas did the Blu-ray, though, he didn't add anything himself. How hard would it be to get somebody to play Obi-Wan as an old geriatric Jedi? I mean, we had, what was it, Dooku was just the head? You know, they put his Lee's head onto the double. I mean, how hard would it have been to get a young guy in a Vader costume and a young guy in an Obi-Wan old mask and add a couple scenes? I mean, to me, I don't see that as blasphemy. That was something I was hoping for when they did the Blu-ray.
Well, hey, if they can do Tupac, then they can certainly do Ben Kenobi. All right, so we're going to move on. I've got to cut to a quick break where I want to tell you guys a couple announcements. Don't fast forward through because there's some really cool stuff that we've got working on and new projects and other stuff. So I want to tell you guys sponsors. So I'm just going to do that right now in the middle of the show. if you want to, fast forward. But you'll regret it. You'll regret it, I promise. All right, we'll be right back with you. And here's the ultimate tease. Coming right back, I'll give you the reaction of what Jamie thought of seeing Star Wars for the first time. We'll be with you right in a moment. Okie dokie. All right, I wanted to say that this episode of the Star Wars Report is brought to you by you guys. This is just going to be a very informal ad read. And by ad read, I don't even mean ad read. I'm looking at my show notes. I just want to tell you guys kind of some of the business end of things. Since we've got you, Mark Newbolt, on, we released last week, we continued our trend that I've been telling you guys about. On our mailing list, we've been releasing some bonus content. And actually, I've made a special page on the website, starwarsreport.com/ you don't know what it is. But if you're on, you get on the mailing list about, you know, every week, every couple weeks, I'll send out bonus recording or interviews or bonus content from conventions we've covered. I just wanted that as a place to have a special thank you for you guys that are the super fans that sign up for the mailing list and actually want us in your inbox. And what makes you a super fan? I mean, you say, well, what's the difference between Facebook and email? And that's really just because, like we were talking before the show, Facebook's algorithm changes hither and thither. Twitter, you get a million tweets per hour, and it's easy to miss stuff. So sign up for our mailing list at StarWarsReport.com/mailing list. There's almost 100 of you guys on this already, and I love it. And Mark from Jedi News, thank you so much for actually helping us get out the word. You sent us an email on a post that I did up, and you were on the mailing list, and I actually was just flattered that you were interested enough to post it through Jedi News. So actually, we gave you guys some bonus content, and you were kind enough to post it and get the word out about it. So we thanks for doing that, by the way.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for letting us do it. It was a good, as a listener, it was a good piece. And yeah. It's a great idea as well. I like the logic of not everything running through Facebook, not everything running through Twitter, having a dedicated place for people who want to come and talk and listen. So I like the concept that you've got going there. So yeah, sure, really fantastic. Yeah. And also, it's interesting to find that I didn't realize until I looked at your logo that you guys use the same font as we do. So I didn't even realize that until I started messing around with it.
Really?
So.
I did not know that. Wow. Crazy. Well, I'll tell you what, and again, you can sign up. I'll be releasing more content in the future. I still have actually some Battlestar interviews from Dragon Con that I've never gotten around to, releasing. So you never
some
know.
Great interviews.
I
am one of the few that have heard.
Yes.
You will too someday, we hope.
Yes. Yeah, I'll organize that at some point when I don't get so busy. But it's one of those things, life moves on. Life goes quickly as college continues and careers continue. I mean, Star Wars Report in its current incarnation will continue to evolve. There are so many different shows on the network. Being on that mailing list is a great way to follow what happens with us long term. If we organize meetups at a convention, if we do any number of things. So that's a great way. And that's really the number one thing to do. And the other thing I just wanted to mention is if you want to support us, I was kind of torn about doing it, but I decided to just make it an option for those of you who are interested, because there are a number of you guys have actually in emails and other ways say, hey, is there a way we can support you guys financially? And we just haven't had that set up because we're not in this for money by any stretch of the imagination. We spend quite a bit of it ourselves. But that being said, I put a little PayPal donate button on the site, and if you guys want to donate, that's just a super easy way to PayPal, whatever amount you want, literally just anything you guys would care to, that would be fantastic. And we set up a number of things like that. We've mentioned our Audible trial, and we'll talk about that later in the show. And we also have our Amazon affiliates. But these aren't ways to make us rich and wealthy. No,
more like we got ideas for T-shirts and things like that. That we have great ideas, but it kind of needs a little capital to get them out there to you guys.
Yeah, and you got
getting that ball rolling is a little hard.
So yeah, like any of this goes straight to hosting for the website or equipment for the podcast. That's where all of this goes. I just wanted to make that option available and let everyone who listens to the podcast know. Certainly there's no obligation to, but if you guys want to, again, go to StarWarsReport.com. It's all there on the sidebar. You'll see the Amazon link. And then I'm just creating a one resource place, and if you go to StarWarsReport.com/support, you'll see all those links there as well, and that just makes it a super easy way. So we do thank you for your continuing support of the Star Wars Report and the newly designed website. I'm actually enjoying it. We've been making some changes there, and I'm sure a lot of you guys have noticed. But without further ado, I believe it is time to get back to our regularly scheduled programming. I'll tell you what, guys. I've been battling a cold a little bit, and also, I did not do what Mark Newbold did just before the show, and that's get water or Coca-Cola or something. So this is where I realized 34 minutes into the podcast, oh, crap. I will power through.
Oh,
I will power through.
Juggling waste in my throat.
Exactly. That's what it found like. So, Jamie's reaction. I know you all are sitting in your seat waiting patiently and or hitting the 30-second forward button on your iPod. I know who you are. So Jamie, we talked to her about it afterwards, and I think Cindy clued her in on some of what we did, because we talked about it briefly. She was like, so you guys actually like do a website or something about this? And it's like, whenever you, it's hard to talk to civilians. You guys know this. You're someone in your regular life. So you do like a website, a podcast. What is that? Is that you crazy freak? No. So I think there was actually some level of intimidation factor, but Jamie, it wasn't like we got the chance to do a 1 hour interview afterwards or anything, but we did
busted out the recorder. Here we go. We're going to sit down and ask you 25 questions.
I should totally, and I was actually kind of hoping to take the recorder, but I decided not to because I didn't want to be, TMZ. So we hear you watch Star Wars. What was your part? As you see the TMZ logo. Watching Star Wars.
No sweating. You've got to sweat. What are you trying to hide something you didn't like it, did you?
Shaky first person camera. So, Jamie, we heard you watch Star Wars. What did you think of the scene where Ben Kenobi died? And she's trying to cover up the camera as she gets to her vehicle. All right. So, what did she think? She thoroughly enjoyed it. And she was gut honest. She really enjoyed the film. Because, let's all be honest, Star Wars is one of the most amazing films ever made. I mean, you're listening to this podcast, you know this fact. But I just think it's occasionally good to repeat this fact. Star Wars is one of the most amazing films ever made. That being said, it's good to be reminded of it occasionally, because when you are interacting with a civilian, it's very gratifying to finish that film as Han Solo, Luke Skywalker, and Carrie Fisher, I mean, Princess Leia. I tried so hard. And Princess Leia turn and smile past the camera. And Chewbacca actually does have a medal, by the way. Revisited version. Medal hanging right there.
I want to talk about that just for a second.
Sure,
because
sure,
that's where I was when that happened. My roommate didn't even notice because they did it so subtly. And I was like, see, was that so hard, Lucas? I mean, I was like having a total rant moment. All you see is like the left arm of Chewie come up next to Han as Leia turns around to grab Luke's, you know, medal. And the next thing you know, they show like from a back view, and then she's reaching to grab Luke's medal again, and then gives it to Luke, and then they show the other view, and there's Chewie with his. And I applauded. I was,
yes.
I mean, it was like, it's about time.
Chewie got his due. When they turn around, camera goes quiet, and she's like, well, that is a fantastic movie. It's kind of me and Indiana Jones at Steve's a couple weeks ago, where I just felt the need about 20 minutes into the film just kind of look over at Steve and say, this is a really good movie. It's like this is a good movie. And that was very gratifying to hear. The points, she followed it very closely, and it changes me because I've finally gotten to the point, because I'm behind you guys. I haven't seen the film probably a tenth of as many times as either of you have, just by sheer nature of time. And so I'm only just now getting to that point where I am so comfortable with these films that, well, you know, to the point where I do feel comfortable with these films. And comfort is one thing, but when you're watching it with someone who's seen the first time, you're seeing them piece together what is the Imperial Senate? What is, who is the Emperor? Well, you know, these basic questions that we all know by heart and say, and just really connect in our minds to the trilogy. It's kind of what we've been doing with the Clone Wars all this time, is that we now connect all these events into the films. But when you're watching it for the first time, you have no idea who the significance of Ben Kenobi is or what he is. The only thing you know is what Alec Guinness is both telling you and showing you on screen. And when you're, it's like watching it, it's probably a fraction of what it would be like watching it with your kids for the first time. I wouldn't know what that's like, but that's really what the experience was like. I've talked both of your heads off now. I realize this is the epic silence.
No, it's a good point. It's a really good point. You know, it's been, you know, I saw it when it came out, so I was sort of 7 or 8 years old when it came out. So to imagine not ever having seen it, I'd kind of like, you know, I think about that with lots of TV shows that I love. I'd love to forget that I'd ever seen DS9 so I can watch it from the start and sort of take it all in again, you know, because it's my favourite Trek show, for example. So I'd love, in a way, I mean, I wouldn't, but I'd kind of like to forget everything I know about Star Wars and take them all in for the first time.
If you had to, I'm sorry to interrupt, but if you had to, would you take that? Forget everything about Star Wars?
I wouldn't, and the pure reason is that I think the reason that I got hooked, and it's different for everybody because most people were different ages apart from my immediate friends mm-hmm. with different ages when they started watching Star Wars. So I was sort of, like I say, I was 7 or 8 and it grabbed me. And I know that if Star Wars came out today, it would grab me, but it obviously wouldn't grab me in the same way because sure. I haven't got the weight of sort of 36 years of loving it and being into it behind me. So I wouldn't. But in isolation, I'd love to sit down with anything that I love. I'd love to sit down and watch it again for the first time. You know, I always thought it was one really attractive kind of sort of marketing they did when the special editions came out. Or it might have been the remastered videos, one or the other, but it was like, see it again for the first time. It was like, you know, re-experience this film that you've known and loved for 10, 15 years, whatever it was at the time, and take it all in again. And of course, it wasn't fresh. All they did was, you know, stick a few special effects on it, really.
But it's
an exciting option if you could do it. It'd be fantastic.
When they did that, the first special editions, that was the time when I was learning that widescreen actually gave you more of the picture than the full screen. Yeah. I remember having that so backwards, and so many people did at that time. Yeah, and I remember watching it. I got it on VHS, and I'm like, what did he add? He didn't add anything. And then I go online when I went to school because I didn't have a computer at that time, and I'm finding out that, oh, wait, what? It's on the widescreen. So I'm like, all these deleted scenes, I rented this thing and I didn't even get to see any of them because it's all on the edges. I was so mad. But I learned that from that point on, beep, the full screen movies, I want widescreen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that's, you know, that's one of those things of, it was great seeing it fresh. And I think that was, and that was the best part because it was like seeing a film for the fresh, for the first time in some ways. When you're experiencing that with someone like that. So, moving forward, you guys are getting weekly reports, by the way. This is going to be an ongoing, spread the word. If your friends don't listen to the Star Wars Report and they like Star Wars and you want to hear the ongoing saga, and hopefully we'll be able to do more specifics, and then, like, my end goal is to actually get an interview out of this. Not by sacrifice, and I'm not going to be mean about it, but if it's possible... I'll see if it can happen. But Empire Strikes Back, it is currently, what's today? Thursday night. It's the night we always record Star Wars Part. I'm tired. But Bethany and I are traveling to Nashville. One reason she's not able to join us yet. She may make an appearance yet, but we'll find out. We're traveling to Nashville this weekend. But Sunday we come back into town in the General Atlanta area, and we go over to my sister's house once again. To revisit The Empire Strikes Back. Not Empire Strikes Back Revisited. Calm down, Steve Blossom. But next, with Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back. And I mean, seriously, I'm super thrilled. And I think after watching, and I watched it for the first time, I actually hadn't sat down to watch the half-hour documentary Conversation with the Masters from the Blu-ray set. Having watched that now, I'm really looking forward to Empire once again. And the order, and just a final note on this before we move on, the order of the films we decided was 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 6. We are indeed doing the experiment.
Good man.
So that's the order. So it'll be interesting. What does Jamie think of Jar Jar? What does Jamie think of the fall of the Republic, the rise of Vader, the redemption of Vader? I mean, she doesn't even know that I am your father. Completely removed from any kind of fantasy or science fiction popular culture. That's what makes this exciting. Because this isn't just, oh, I've heard a lot about the movies, but I never got around to seeing them all the way through. This is a clean slate. It's beautiful, guys. It's like, it is the scientific experience. It's like Palpatine in the intro of Robot Chicken Star Wars. It's like, bam, 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 with the spiky hair.
What's a space fantasy?
Okay, so yeah, it's gonna be incredible. Okay, moving on very quickly. I teased it at the beginning. I posted up a blog post this week. Why the hate? That's kind of the mantra. It sounds more sophisticated if I say it that way. I have no idea if it's right. The mantra of the show has kind of become, why the hate? Why the detours hate? And I put up an article, and it actually got quite a bit of response. And it was one of those things where I reported about it being put on hold, and then I discovered, this is just through my own browsing around, that all the Detour stuff had been taken off the official website, had been taken off the Star Wars YouTube channel. It's not really news in and of itself. It's not like I broke some super exclusive story or something like that, but it's just an observation I thought it was worth posting on. And so I posted it.
Not like the holiday special where George is trying to erase its existence from continuity.
Although I think a comparison can be made. I mean, when you're trying to erase it that much, the Facebook page may disappear at some point. You never know. That being said, I posted about it, and I was surprised. I got a pretty solid 10-15% of responses, 20%, were pretty like, phew, I'm glad that awful crap's gone, that terrible Star Wars detour. Rejoice, for that abomination detours will never see the light of day. And so, and this was, I got a conversation on our Facebook with Benjamin Keitzman, I hope I pronounced that correctly, and he was talking about, and there were some others, and I'm forgetting names, and so if I mixed them up or something, I apologize in advance. But anyway, we were in conversation on our Facebook page, the Star Wars Report page, and talking about this, a lot of folks were saying detours would dilute the franchise. And my point in the article is really, at this point, we've survived the Star Wars Connect dance. We've survived, go back a couple years, we've survived the annual Star Wars weekends dance off. We survived the holiday special, for crying out loud. So
we survived the dark times of the Empire and Star Wars.
Having been filled in a room with 2,500 Star Wars fans at Star Wars, this kind of goes back to many things. It's like with Clone Wars or anything else that you're at a big fan event. I loved it. The fans loved it. Standing ovation. Seth Green was amazing. George Lucas showed up. It was awesome. And so my experience was so positive with Detours. It's just because it's kind of like, it's like when you think that you're going to be drinking lemonade and you find out you're drinking lemon concentrate. Like, you think, you guys ever done that? Okay, somebody can identify with me. That's what it was when I get this kind of immediate reaction of this, well, it's terrible. And so, you know, I don't think it dilutes the franchise. If we survived all the aforementioned atrocities, we can survive this. Yeah, I mean, a conversation certainly can be had, it was on Facebook. I was not trying to devalue anyone's opinion. You can certainly do that. But just a quick side mention, if you're on our Facebook page, or if you're listening to this podcast and you're on our Facebook page, we do try to keep things family friendly and clean. And that's what, in the past couple weeks, a couple people got a little sparky, a little excited. So I just want to throw that out there. Want to make sure we keep things family friendly and respectful when we're going back and forth on the page, because
some of the Bothan's fur was rising.
Yes. So I just wanted to just throw that out there as a possibility, and it kind of goes back to that thing of being a little bit too. I don't think Star Wars is sacred in that way. Star Wars is certainly sacred in many ways, but can it have silly spinoffs? Certainly. I don't think it hurts anyone. And again, it goes back to, if you don't like it, you don't have to watch it. I mean, seriously. Really? Yeah, seriously. So, there you go. And then finally, before we run out of time, I'm going to take the next 5-10 minutes before we close the show and bring up Clone Wars. As we've mentioned on the show in brief passing, it's over. Sorry, guys. Not only did we got the official press release, so that was very ambiguous, talking about bonus content and, you know, other very discouraging.
We're producing stuff, but we're not producing stuff.
We're getting inside sources. This is from the Force.net. Eric Geller reports, because he did a good round. A lot of people are reporting great stuff. He rounded it up, and basically, it seems that there's sources close to the Lucasfilm Animation are saying that it's being heavily stripped down. Only a skeleton crew will remain. It's like, isn't there a Battlestar Galactica with a skeleton? What is the sci-fi reference with a skeleton crew? This is the story of Riley on podcasting. What is this great reference? I can't think of the reference. Aw. But okay, so yeah, his crew's getting stripped down. The letter campaign is going on by all means. Bob Iger, Disney Studios, 500 South Buena Vista Street, Burbank, California, 91521 is the address. Send your letters away. There are many people with much far-reaching and greater voices than ours here, being proponents for this. There's the SaveTheCloneWars.com, hashtag SaveTheCloneWars. It's going on Twitter this Saturday. So if you guys are listening to the podcast before then, by all means participate. I'm kind of at the point where I'm realizing very quickly, I don't think, it may be cynical, but I don't think it's going to make a huge difference. I think the decision's already been made. But by all means, don't let that stop you. If you want to, by all means, send your words, polite words of encouragement to keep the Clone Wars running. But it's not happening. And the other piece of news is that the inside sources are saying specifically whatever the bonus content is, I'm doing air quotes, bonus content, it's not going to wrap up Asajj Ventress's stories, Ahsoka's, Darth Maul's, you name it, it's not happening. So it's disappointing. There's a lot of emotions flinging around the fan community right now. A lot of people are angry. I'm angry.
Well, here's one for you. Where's their exit strategy? When Karen Travis quit her books, she at least put out a blog that gave us, well, this is what I was planning on doing. It wasn't anything official, but at least gave the fans some closure.
Sure.
Did they have an exit strategy, or were they really just making it up as they go? I mean, if they really had an exit strategy, why not throw that out there or say, we have one and we're going to give it to you when the time's right, when you've seen all the content we've got prepared? I mean, they're not even giving us that. It kind of leaves you that conclusion of, once again, we're just making it up as we go and pretending we have an almighty vision.
I'm making it up as I go. Yeah. I'll just repeat because it bears repeating. At this point, Disney, it's the term Star Wars genocide has been used. I won't use it. I'm not saying that. That might be a little strong. But
that's hyperbolic as heck. I love it.
I know. But it's one of those things where I think business decision, and it's not treating fans of the Clone Wars with respect. A lot of EU fans feel the same way. I think Clone Wars fans are more offended at this point, and I say offended in the righteous sense, not in the false sense, but it's an offense to Clone Wars fans because it was Star Wars. George Lucas was involved. And for we, and I'm lumping myself in the category, we that really valued Star Wars as it came from George Lucas's vision, changing though it might be, we enjoyed those stories. And George has a gift for storytelling that was, just watched the last half of the season 5. Are there duds? Yes. But then we get the Darth Maul episodes. And all this stuff comes from George. And this is what, you know, people who don't like George Lucas love to selectively say everything he does is terrible. No, some of it doesn't pan out well. Some of it does. You have to look at a storyteller and say, you can't be perfect. This is the problem. This is the problem with the world today. No, this is the problem that I see with a lot of the geek community is that it's either unadulterated worship of an idol, like say Joss Whedon or J.J. Abrams or you name it, someone that you have great admiration for as a creative person, but talent is talent and people are people and you can't expect someone to be perfect. You can't, you know, bat 1,000 every time. And I don't think really any George Lucas fan, you know, says that the prequels are perfect. But the point is, if you liked the original trilogy and didn't like the prequels, you can't just make excuses and say George Lucas really didn't have anything with the original trilogy to do, and he just lost it, and everything since 1983 has been crap from George Lucas. That's just not true. So many of these great Clone Wars stories come directly from George. That being said, that's where, as a George fan, understanding the way Star Wars has changed is a bitter pill to swallow. Am I swallowing it? Yes. Am I excited about episode 7? Yes. But I think too many people are too quick to say, well, we're getting new movies anyway, and most George Lucas stuff was crap, and yes, there's some interesting stories, but we'll just brush it off. I think the message that's been sent to us by Disney, and mark my words, this is not Lucasfilm. This is not Lucasfilm making the decision. Disney owns it. Kathleen Kennedy is operating Lucasfilm in the interest of Disney. Kathleen Kennedy is in the conference meetings with these heads of Disney's. It's not an internal thing. I've heard people speculate that. No. So that's just where I come from, my take on it. Again, I don't want to be too negative because I do think that overall this is still a positive experience, but I think it's too much, I'll say it's not enough of a nod to Clone Wars fans. I think there are way too many ways that we could have gotten, like, you know, a comic series, or even just say release, let them finish the whole season, but just go straight to DVD. Yes, it'll cost a little extra, but this idea of bonus content, we all know what they're talking about. We're only going to get maybe a couple hours of content, and none of it's going to wrap up the major storylines. And that's
what, two arcs?
I mean, the speculation's ever. We don't know the specifics, and it's hard to it's hard and probably not wise. I'm criticizing myself here. It's probably not necessarily the wisest thing to complain when we literally don't know all the ramifications of what's going on. But I think we have a pretty good idea that at this point, Disney has turned the page on every single Star Wars project, EU, non-EU, video game, television, book, comic, you name it. Next 6 months to a year, it's out the window. All new.
See, and they've said they've got some news on the publishing side coming
right up.
Watching what they've done to the Clone Wars as an EU fan, as the defender of the EU, I am worried. I mean, I've said, well, you know, if they break away and the EU can stand on its own, that's one thing, but. Everybody is all in the naysay camp, and it's like, okay, for me on the yay camp, like, okay, let's get it all to do. I can't do it alone. I need to have you naysayers get over here and say we want the EU. I love the campaign to save the Clone Wars, but if we can't save the Clone Wars, EU is doomed. Save it before, and if we can't get the EU people the Clone Wars people to come on board, if they can't even save that, oh man. I mean, it's one of those things like. As an EU fan, you've been the minority, and it seems like the majority of fans are Clone Wars fans, but now we're finding out that really, most of the Clone Wars fans were really Star Wars fans that just want more Star Wars movies, and they were just riding that animated series because they were waiting for the next movie. Now the next movie's coming, they don't care about that TV show anymore, and it's like, whoa, there are a lot more of those people out there than I ever thought.
Yeah, and I hesitate to lump everyone in that category, but you're right, Mark. There's a large contingency of people who, with the prospect of new films, just don't care that much about the Clone Wars, and I think... And that's the same reason that happens is the reason that the Clone Wars hasn't really penetrated that mainstream popularity that it deserves. I think we've all said this before. Clone Wars deserved more exposure and more attention because as great as it was. So we'll be following the story as it goes, but I don't expect good news for EU fans, Clone Wars fans, video game fans. I mean, anything Star Wars in the past few months, it's a bitter pill to swallow. Stay positive, folks. And by folks, I'm talking to Riley. Like this is going to be Riley talking to Riley. Calm down, Riley. If Riley were to say something to Riley, Riley would say, "Now, Riley, it's a rough time. I know you're sad to see the Clone Wars go. It does seem like it could be a bit of a slap in the face to fans. But when you look at the long term, 5 years from now, it means that Star Wars will be more bright and vibrant than ever. And I think this is still." Some of the best talent to really carry the torch forward, but now Riley's fighting back. I'm wanting to respond to Riley.
Quiet, you! No, you quiet! No, I said be quiet!
Suffice it to say, save the Clone Wars. Hashtag save the Clone Wars this Saturday. I haven't had a chance to get out. I know Star Wars Underworld's really been carrying that torch, and I haven't had a chance. I feel bad to get that up on the website yet, but if you're listening to this podcast, by all means, hashtag that, send out the letters, be vocal, express your fandom. That does it for this episode of the Star Wars Report. Thank you so much, both Mark and Mark. I'll start with Mark Newbold. Thank you so much for coming on, man, and I really appreciate your time and putting up with all of the long monologues and rants. And it's an interesting time to be a Star Wars fan.
It really is, yeah. It's all good. It's all Star Wars, and it's a good place to be talking about it. So thanks for having us on. Really appreciate it.
Anytime, man. And it was too long. We haven't had you on since our Bothan Report days. So you can still find those ancient 14 episodes of the Bothan Report where we started off. but that's in the iTunes archive. But those are still there if you guys want to listen to it. And Mark Herleman, thank you so much for joining us as always, providing your... enthusiastic and introspective thoughts on that Galaxy Far Far. I always enjoy talking
zany,
to you.
Always crazy.
Oh my goodness. All right, so that does it for this episode of the Star Wars Report. Remember, you can support the show. Go to starwarsreport.com/support. There's the Amazon link, the PayPal thing I mentioned. There's so many ways that you guys can do it, and we thank you for doing it if you care to. Also, I haven't mentioned it enough lately, we really appreciate any iTunes reviews you guys want to send our way. That really helps with our rankings and spreading the word about the show. So by all means, go to our iTunes, and that's bit.ly/StarWarsReportiTunes. super easy to remember URL. That'll take you straight to the thing. So there you go. That does for episode 83 of the Star Wars Report. For Mark, and for Riley, remember, many Bothans died to bring you this podcast.